Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from David Lindell, West Campus Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
As we've been walking through this series, we keep coming back to Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And in Ephesians chapter 3, when you get to verse 20, the crescendo of Paul's prayer is this line of praise, this doxology in chapter 3 and verse 20, where he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." You know, tonight we have one more stop on our way to verse 20 as we come to verse 19. 2 weeks ago we looked at verse 18 and what he said about the love of Christ, but the last stop on our way to verse 20 is what we read in verse 19. Paul writes this, And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled. Somebody say filled.
Filled.
Somebody else say filled.
Filled.
That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Part of Paul's prayer leads right in, this part of Paul's prayer leads right into him saying, now God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. But the question is, before we get there, what is Paul doing when he gets to verse 19? What does what he says in verse 19 have to do with more than we could ask or imagine in watching God do that in our lives? You know, this summer we took a road trip through the Rockies, and road trips are an adventure just all the way around. And so we packed in our four kids and we drove through Kansas, which is always super exciting. And we made it through Kansas and we changed routes a little bit and decided to go down through Colorado Springs into the Royal Gorge, which was awesome. The kids loved it. And in the morning, or that night, we spent the night in a little town called Salida. And in the morning, usually my routine would be that I would go to the gas station. You know, if we're on a road trip from the previous day's driving, I'd go to the gas station as we're headed out of town and I'd gas up the car. But I don't know if it's because I was so excited to be in the Rockies. I just was enamored with God's creation and the beauty around me. We didn't do that. So we headed off into the mountains to our destination. Our next stop was 3 hours away. And so we're moving through the mountains. And you know, you're just taking in the sights, taking it. Some of you know where this is going. You're just watching everything. And all of a sudden I look down and it says that the range is 28 miles left and we have no cell phone signal. We know, like, Google Maps is still working, but it says no service. So I can't search for a gas station. We haven't passed any gas stations. I know that we haven't passed any in 28 miles. So all we can do is just keep going. Now, if I was single in the mountains and I ran out of gas, that would be an adventure. But with four kids, a wife, and a minivan, that's a nightmare. So there's a debate in your mind when you see that, because I know Becky wouldn't notice. So it's like, do I tell her, do I out myself here, or do I just say nothing? So, and just hope for the best and pray. But, you know, we got four prayer warriors in the back, and so I mentioned it to her, and then I just said to the kids, like, somebody needs to pray, because we're down now to 22 miles, and we're going to run out of gas, and I don't know where there's a gas station. So we're just keep trucking along our route. Henley pipes in. She prays. And I love her, you know, four-year-old prayers are the best. Lord, help us, you know, Jesus, help us not to run out of gas. Amen. You know, like, it's that simple to her. It's done. Like, she was like, we're not going to run out of gas now. And we were in the single digits when we rolled into the gas station in Twin Lakes, Colorado. The Lord provided. The Lord provided. But fuel was going to be essential if we were going to see much of the mountains. Can I get an amen? Like, that was going to be, if you wanted to see what we came to see and do what we came to do, the car was going to need some fuel. And when Paul is praying, when he gets to verse 19, he's highlighting a similar reality in the spiritual life. That in order for you to go where God wants to take you and see God do in your life what he's able to do, it's going to take some fuel for your faith to get you there. Your faith will not fuel itself. You cannot just coast along and hope everything is going to be just as you want it to be or just what verse 20 says it will be. Because in order for you to see God do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, you're going to need some fuel for your faith. And verse 19 highlights what that fuel is and how we fuel our faith. Verse 19, Paul prays for this ever-increasing, unending, unceasing, uninterrupted experience of God's fullness flooding into our lives to fuel our expectancy and anticipation of what he desires to do. And here's why what Paul prays in verse 19 is absolutely critical, not only for the Ephesians, but also for you and for me. Because of what it produces in our lives. Fullness produces two fundamental changes in the life of every person who experiences it. And the first change that fullness brings about is that fullness eliminates your capacity for the world. Fullness eliminates your capacity for the world. Verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God's God. The words filled to the measure mean to be filled up. I mean, I don't want to get too technical here, but fullness means you're full. So that's kind of where this is going. You don't have room for anything else. That's full. You don't have room for anything else. In fact, a Scottish minister from the 17th century, theologian named Thomas Chalmers, wrote a pamphlet entitled, and I love this title, The Expulsive Power of New Affection. The Expulsive Power of New Affection, which was his way of saying there is a new love that can flood your heart that can drive all the other old loves out. The expulsive power of new affection. And part of what he says in that pamphlet is that we don't just get rid of worldly appetites, they have to be replaced. You don't just wish them away, you don't hope them away, you don't will them away, you don't self-drive them away, you have to replace them with new appetites. Old loves have to be replaced with a new love, which is why Paul is praying what he does in verse 19. He wants them to be full of something else. He wants them to be full of something else so they can be full of what they need to be full of to fuel what God wants them to see in their lives. Old loves have to be expelled by new loves. And look at what Paul writes in verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. H.A. Ironside, a minister who was formerly in the early 19th century, he was at Moody Church in Chicago, this historic church. He wrote this: the secret of holiness is heart occupation with Christ. As we gaze upon him, we become like him. Do you want to become like Christ? Let the loveliness of the risen Lord so fill the vision of your soul that all else is shut out. Then the things of the flesh will shrivel up and disappear, and the things of the spirit will become supreme in your life. This is the only way whereby we may be delivered from the power of the flesh and the principles of the world. The love of Christ and your love for Christ drives out love of the things of the world. It no longer allows worldly appetites to thrive within your heart. That's how that works. That's the expulsive power of a new affection. Fullness eliminates your capacity for the world. So Paul, praying for the Ephesians, and us, praying for us, following Paul's pattern, leading to verse 20, pray for the fullness of God to flood our lives, because it eliminates worldly appetites. Number two, though, fullness increases your confidence in God's ability. This is so good. Fullness increases your confidence in God's ability. Reflecting on Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, one New Testament scholar wrote, "No prayer that has ever been framed has uttered a bolder request." He's thinking about all of the things that Paul, to this point, has said about what he wants to see, what he's praying God, by his Spirit, produces in the Ephesian believers. And this scholar says, this is the boldest prayer in the entire New Testament. This is a big prayer. This is a big request. Paul's not asking for small things. Paul is praying such a big prayer. In fact, you could wonder, if you really understand what he's asking for, you could wonder if he's overdone it, if he's outpunted his coverage, if he's said too much in the presence of God, if he's been too grandiose in his request of what God might do, if he's gone too far. But in verse 20, Paul answers that question for us, and this is what he says. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." In other words, the work within us that Paul is praying for becomes the foundation of our confidence that God is able to supply anything and everything else we could ever need. The work that he is praying for to happen in the Ephesian believers, and the prayer that we are to model in praying for ourselves, becomes the ground, the foundation to pray God do anything else beyond what we could ask or think would even be possible. Or you could put it this way: the greater your experience of his fullness, the greater your expectancy of his power. The greater your experience of God's fullness flooding your heart, the greater expectancy you will have concerning what power is able to be manifest in your situation and in the needs you're facing. So if we back up just a little bit, I think this is a fair way to assess our own personal spiritual development. That you could gauge how filled you are by looking at the prayers that you pray. That I could gauge my own fullness in my walk with God by what I'm willing to ask him for and willing to ask him to do. Because bold prayers flow out of a full heart. And anemic prayers and hedge your bet prayers, and I'm not sure if God can do this, but maybe prayers, flow out of a heart that's not quite full of him. Paul says, if your heart is full, your expectancy will be great. A full heart prays big, robust, over the top, make your friends nervous sort of prayers. That's what fullness prays. Fullness prays differently. Fullness prays radically. Fullness prays confidently. Fullness prays when others say, that can't happen, won't happen, forget about it. That's where fullness prays. Fullness prays where you've heard a bad report and it's the end of the story. Fullness says, no, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to go ahead and do that. That's actually exactly the prayer that I want to pray. That's the way that fullness operates. That's fullness. Paul wants to see fullness in your life and in my life and in the Ephesian believer's life, because fullness is the pathway to praying prayers that are above and beyond all that you could ask or think. That's where fullness goes. And that's where Paul wants believers to live. That's where the Bible would call you to step out in faith and live. Live in the realm of fullness. That's what fullness produces. So I just ask you tonight, and actually the musicians can come back up. Do you want to be full? Do you want to be filled? Because We know from the beginning of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:23 that the church, if you're part of the church, if you're part of the body of Christ, the truth of the matter is this, that Christ has filled all in all. He's become all in all, meaning there is this sense in which as a member of the body of Christ, you are filled with Christ. The Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. So what is Paul praying? What is Paul praying that should be your prayer in Ephesians chapter 3? He's praying that you and I would, day in and day out, week in and week out, when we need it and when we're not sure if we need it and when our back's against the wall and when we don't know what to do, have such a regular, ongoing experience of God's fullness flooding and filling our lives that no matter what you come up against and no matter what you're facing, you can come to God in prayer with such confidence and such boldness, not because you've manufactured your own faith, or you've just, I'm going to be confident in God. Where does your confidence come from? It comes from being full of Him. It will always come from being full of Him. I think sometimes we look at people who are willing to pray bold, audacious prayers, and we just say, wow, I wonder how they have that sort of faith. You know what? You need to look no further than the God that they serve and that they've been filled with. Don't look at them, look at Him. Don't look to them, look to Him. Because I promise you this, if you will get on your knees and you will say, God, I want to be full. He's not praying for unbelievers. He's praying for believers, and He's saying, don't coast. Don't stay where you are. Don't say, I'm full enough. Man, how sad would it be if any of us as Christians said, nope, I'm good, I'm full enough. Paul's praying for these Ephesian believers. He's praying for people he's discipled. The Apostle Paul discipled them. And he's saying, I want him to experience the fullness of God. I never want it to be enough. I never want them to get into a prayer meeting and go, nope, I'm full enough. I never want them to get to their devotions or their time with God and say, nope, God, what you're doing is good right now. I don't need more. He always wants them to be people who say, more, I want more. And here's what you can know. That any time you pray that prayer to God, there's more for you to receive. There will always be more. There will always be more. When you say, well, you know what? I prayed for fullness yesterday, and I think God answered it. If you get down on your knees today, God will expand your capacity to see Him flood your heart with even more so that you're fuller. I want to be fuller. I want to be fuller. I don't want to say, well, I think I'm full or I've prayed for fullness. I want to say, no, day in and day out, I want to seek that new fullness. I want to seek that filling from Him so that my confidence in Him is red hot. Regardless of what Satan throws at me or life brings my way, I have this unabashed confidence in my Creator because I'm so full of Him. I know Him so well. I'm so filled with the truth about His character and His nature and His power that I'm ready. I'm anticipating that He is going to do. Not what I think, not what I see, not what I can imagine, not what I can ask for, that I'm ready to do, or I'm ready for Him to do more. No. Actually, no. I'm ready for Him to do immeasurably more than I can ask or think or imagine. And so tonight, that's the question. Do you want to be full? Do you want to be positioned Because if you say, I want to be positioned to be full, then you need to position yourself to be filled. And you do that at his feet. Where is Paul asking for fullness for the Ephesians? Where is he doing that? In prayer. That's where you do that. Where do you do that here? You get down to the altar. And you say, God, I just want more. What you did yesterday was awesome, but it's not enough. It will never be enough because I can never get too much of you. I can never be too confident in you. I can never be too hungry for you. I want more. And so if you want more right now, you begin to move from your seat, wherever you're at, and position yourself to be filled tonight. Say, I want more. If you're in this stadium, I want more. If you're on the floor, I want more. Position yourself to be filled, and may there be a confidence that pervades this room that he is going to answer that request tonight in his presence as we cry out for more. Fill us, God. We want more.